Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 309. On the podcast today, the Duchess of the Chart. Nicola Duke will be charting BHP Billiton, MX Oil, Hague and London Oil, Savannah Resources. Yeah, it's all oil resources stock because they're hammered. And do you know what? That's the place to be right now. At the bottom of the cycle, this is the time to invest. It may seem it's blood on the dance floor. I know that, as Sophie Ellis Bex once said. But listen, this is the time to get into it. There are plenty of good companies here, undervalued. And in about 6 months' time, we'll say, wow, was that really 2 pence or 1 pence? I honestly think that. So Nick will be looking at a couple of these companies. I also have today's penny stock with potential, as suggested by Anthony, and it's Bushveld Minerals. This is one of the companies that I think, you know, is way undervalued, and so does Anthony. And I have the Micro News Plus. Nothing else. By the way, listen, I need a dedication here. I'm on 89 five-star reviews on iTunes, all right? I want to get to 100. But first, my next goal is 90, of course. So if you listen to this podcast right now and you've got any value out of it whatsoever, because it's free, absolutely free. If you've got any value out of it whatsoever, please click the link here at sharepickers.com. Go to sharepickers.com, 5 minutes of your time, or just scroll down to the bottom, click the link, takes you to iTunes, just give me a five-star rating and write a little review. I'll read it out, dedicate the podcast to you. It's a bit like scratching each other's backs, you know what I'm saying? Just me and you in a bath together, scratching and washing each other's backs, you know what I'm saying? That's put you off now, isn't it? Anyway, like I said, Nicola's on there with that. But also, if you want to suggest a penny stock that you think right now has, you know, huge upside potential, go to sharepickers.com, suggest it, and I could be reading it out in tomorrow's podcast. I say that, that's not strictly true. There's a couple more in the queue there before you, but I will get round to you, okay? And I think it's cracking, because today's, the reason why I've headlined with Bushveld is Anthony here, who's, you know, written up the review of Bushveld, has done a lot of research, and hats off to you, Anthony, even though I'm not wearing a hat. Joining me on the podcast right now is the Duchess of the Chart, the lady who does TA. It's Nicola Duke. You all right, Nick?
Hello, Justin. Very well, thanks.
Good. What's happening, Nicola? What's happening to the markets?
It's the all going is coming to an end. And it's all because of Glencore.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, but someone said, I had Paul Johnson on yesterday, who's a very good investor. He knows his stuff. He knows his onions and his bananas, whatever. And he said this kind of thing, it almost carves out the bottom of the market. When you have a big company taking a hit like this, that's almost the start of the end in the commodity. I mean, what's happening? Why is everything commodity-based having a hammering? I know it's China-based, but is it a lot to do with seasonality as well? Will we see this change when we go into October?
I think most of the decline is, like, it's really oversupply. We had oversupply in so many big markets, iron ore and copper and oil, and that combined with the market anticipating Fed rate hikes, which pushed the value of the dollar right up. You know, almost all of these commodities are priced in dollars. If you look at the price of gold, for example, in euros or the pound or any other currency, or yen or the Aussie, they're like, it's not off that much, but they're priced, and all these contracts and leveraging done around it are all done in dollars. So so oversupply and the strong dollar was a huge downward force on most commodities. The dollar's kind of taken a breather. I don't think the Fed, personally myself, I don't think the Fed will hike this year, but I do think they'll hike next year. So the dollar should have a bit of a breather. But it could rally again. So, you know, long term, we could see another dip in commodities. But right now, there are some that should be seasonally strong from here. Gold is one, Indian wedding season, people can Google. Copper is one, and nat gas soon.
Okay.
So, you know, I think the grains are a little bit pricey, but yeah. But Glencore's biggest problem. You see, Glencore, you know, there's a company, is a physical supplier of, so they move the physical market around. They actually supply commodities rather than just bet on the price like the rest of us. And so, you know, they should make money no matter what the price goes up or down. But they were very over-leveraged.
The problem was...
And their biggest problem was over-leveraging in a commodity downturn.
Yeah.
So but I had a good look at the chart. And I am not advocating catching falling knives at all, but I would suggest, I think that we could take a look at what happens at 61 or 62 in Glencore. And at the moment, today we're at 74.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, another big chunk down from where we are now. But in the big picture of where we've come from, it's not that, it's quite close. There's a lot of Fibonacci confluence at 61, 62. So between 60 and 62, take a look at what happens there. If we find some support there, then I might think it's worth having a look at. If you did it really small, like, it's, you know, because it's a gamble.
Yeah.
You know, this company is just as likely to go out of business as it is to rally. But if we're going to find our feet, I think we should do it around there.
Yeah, and I read about it. So essentially, Glencore, they over-leveraged when China was booming and they did their best to open up as many mines and feed that. And all of a sudden, that's at the top of the cycle. And that's the wrong point to do it in, isn't it? Now, I am going into the resource sector. If you look at my portfolio, it's pretty much all resources now, because I feel at the bottom of the cycle or towards it, this is when you'll get value. You know, the companies now are trying to expand at this level. If they can survive and do well in this environment, they'll fly in about 3 to 5 years' time. Don't you think?
I definitely agree. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. There's opportunities. Just look carefully. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Very much so.
But Glencore, you're saying, you know, if you really want to be brave, you're saying run up 61 pence on that, are you? Is that what we went down to yesterday, was it?
No, the low so far has been 66.60.
Okay.
I think that we should go about another 10% below there. So between 60 and 62, I think that we might find some support that you can, you know, trade against.
Yeah, well, they've got a bit of issue there with debt, haven't they? Let's move on to the next one. We've had a couple of requests. What do you want to go with next, Nicola?
Ooh, I don't mind. We did get some requests for BHP Billiton.
Yes,
so the
again,
ticket is
this has
BLT.
Been, yeah, BLT. I mean, one of the biggest miners in the world. I hold these, and I've held them for a long time. I just one of the things I've tucked in my back pocket and ignored it. And I've just, you know, hopefully I did buy a little bit on the way down. I've stopped doing that now. I'm down about 20% on these, I think, overall. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, I don't care. I think the dividend's out today. I think it's been paid today. The dividend, I think it is. But we've seen a lot of false dawns here, haven't we?
We have, and
what's happening? Is it going to continue? I thought £10 definitely was the nice round figure, the support. But where is it? It's now down at 9.66.
Yeah, and I found my chart from last time we looked at it, the weekly chart, and I said the Fibonacci support zone needs to hold on a retest to buy around 9.50 to 9.90, in that area, between 9.50 and 9.90. And so here, so we had a massive bounce off that level when we tested it in August, late August. Here we are again this morning. We've had a really nice bounce off that level again. So, you know, this is it. It has to hold here. You could buy here with a very tight stop. If it doesn't hold, I would get out of the way. We could see another leg lower, but I like it around here. Yeah, very much so.
Luckily, because I reinvest dividends, I pretty much am buying. I mean, I think twice a year they pay the, or maybe even four times they pay dividends. So obviously, I get stock twice or four times a year anyway. So that's averaging down for me anyway. So that's I'm happy with that. And they are committed to their dividend. They even increased it last time. You know, in this commodity route where they're cutting back everywhere, they are super committed to the dividend. It's like 100 years they haven't cut back a dividend. So I think I'm quite safe there, even in this environment.
This is a super good level. It's a monthly hammer. They might decide to run the stops below the August low, and that is at 955.60. So, but that I really do like that level to hold on a retest. So, yeah, here we are. It's do or die time.
So surely, if it does hold that level, that's the bottom, because they are the biggest miner in the world, pretty much. If they do hold that, that's the bottom of the commodity cycle, isn't it? You know, pretty much.
I would like to think so. And you know, on all time frames I've got, you know, I've got the RSI on the bottom, everything ready, wants to turn up. So we'll see.
Yeah, well,
it should do.
Well, people listening, you heard it here first. Nicola Duke, at Nick Trades on Twitter.
We're at a very interesting level, and I would like to see this hole to rally.
Is calling the bottom of the cycle. Yes. Put your neck out there, Nick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark this date down, 29th. Of September. This is it. This is the lowest level we're going to get. You know. Anyway, so let's stay in the. We had a couple of more suggestions in the resource section. What else are you looking at, Nicolas?
So the other one we were looking at is MXO.
I had Stephen Olivier, CEO, on the podcast recently. They have two areas of interest there. They've got offshore fields in Nigeria, which are going to be coming online very soon. But they're using that very much as cash flow to support their applications for licenses in Mexico, which has opened up their energy space to outside companies, and they're going for two licenses there. And they're placing at 4.5p, I think. And they've been, like I said, like every commodity company, they've been hammered. But they've got a clear strategy, and they know what they're doing. I bought these on a limit order, and I forgot about it, right? And I bought them when they touched, I think it was like
2.03 was that when we drew it last time. We said the support zone, Fibonacci support zone, is down between 2.03 and 2, even 2. And we've bounced quite nicely off there, had a little bit of a pullback, and we're rallying again. I think that we'll confirm a bit of a short term bottom if we can clear 2.5 from here. And I like this one a lot.
Yeah, well, I should. I don't know why I sold back out. You know, I don't know why. Because I needed cash or something else. That's what it was. But I bought it about 2.25, something quite low, I think it was.
Yeah, really
and then it went up, and I thought, oh, here we go. It came back down, and I was still in the profit there. And I thought, well, you know why? I need this to buy something else. And I bought it because I think it's December time is when the next sort of milestone is out there. And I thought, I got a bit of time before then if I want to jump back in. So I may jump back in there, you know. But you like this, yes? Targets.
I like this 100-week moving average. Everything turning up. Above 2.5 confirms it. Above 2.65, I would add even. And we should see 3.1 next.
Nice. Do you know what the way we are right now? There is a chance to get lots of bargains, isn't there? And even though it's quite a scary environment to buy in, this is the time to get these bargains, isn't it? Because, you know, you can be looking back at this in about 4 months' time and think, God, that was that low. I couldn't believe that. Why didn't I buy more? But it's like that psychological in mind frame. When there's all red on your monitor, your portfolio is all red, you think, oh, these can keep going down. But they can't keep going down, you know? We're going to have a bounce sooner or later, aren't we, you know?
They could. You know, I think we could see another leg down. Like, I don't believe the FTSE, for example, would go below 5,700. And if when we get there, I will be backing up the truck and buying. So we are having a correction, but yeah, it's a great time to look for bargains.
Okay. Did you manage to do the chart on HNL, Hagen London? Did you manage that?
I did.
Oh,
yes,
cool. Now, I hold this stock because there's a very experienced team of come together in this cash shell, put the shell together, this company together, and they've got assets in the Far East there, which are very good assets, and 150 million barrels equivalent of oil at a cheap and it's low water, it's very shallow water there, so it's quite cheap to get it out, and they, even at this level I think they're quite profitable, but it's not going to be for a while until they start digging this. And there's very few shares in issue. There's about 24 million shares in issue, which is nothing, and about 11 million of those are held by directors and big shareholders anyway, so this thing really takes off. When some big buyers come in, it really takes off. I bought these at I think 13.5 pence. Can you see why, though? There's a little support there, isn't it? I bought them there.
At I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's happening now?
Well.
Uh-oh.
I think it might have a bit of a deeper retracement here. So 16.4 is a Fibonacci target. It's also a measured move. So the rally from last December and the big gap higher that it moved, the first swing higher it made off the lows, is about equal to the second swing higher that we've just made. So that's in that's a measured move. We also call it an ABC, or where AB, the first swing, is equal to the second swing, CD. So that tends to normally be resistance, and it can pull back quite a long way. So if, and let's look that the 200-day moving average on this stock, sorry, it's 200-week I'm looking at. Let me go down. We're a long way for them. So if you are long, I would take some profit out, because the 200-day moving average is back at those lows at 6.5.
Really?
Yeah.
6.5?
It's gone so far, so fast.
Yeah.
And now it needs to consolidate. So is this a good time to buy?
But isn't that
Not because it wasn't moving
the share price for a long time. I don't know if it was suspended or anything.
No.
But it wasn't moving. And then it shot up that one day by a ridiculous amount from 6.6 up to around about, what was it, 20-odd pence, 20.21 pence. And isn't that because... I suppose it's a bit disjointed.
Yeah, so it's made this big move and now it needs to consolidate, and exactly like it did last time. So let this one calm down, let the moving averages come back. The RSI on the daily is really overbought. That needs to come back down. Let that all calm down and then we'll take another look at it. I wouldn't look at this again for at least a couple of weeks, maybe a month.
Okay, but if you look at that, if I'm drawing a little line...
It is holding the support at 12.96 really nicely.
Yeah, yeah.
And
okay.
It could make a nice little bull flag there and have another run, but you'd still be buying it when all the other indicators are really oversold and we're a very long way from moving averages, and that's not a high probability long trade.
Well,
it's just not. Sorry.
Do you see the way I'm sort of almost resisting your information here? Because I'm a holder. I think, no
Take
way.
Some profit.
I'm just denying. I'm denying this. No way that will go higher. But yes, okay. Well,
you know, they're very volatile. Look at this. Look at this chart. It could easily.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's not a high probability trade.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's fine. I see what you're saying. All right. In fact, let's look at the... we've got no more stocks to look at now, have we?
We've got one more.
What's
which
that?
Was
yeah.
Savannah Resources.
Oh, yeah, Savannah. Do you know what? I did it again today. I just literally... I looked at this company. They did a research on this company a while back. They've got a JV in Rio Tinto. They're a small junior miner, right? And they've got a couple of resources. But one of the resources in... I think Mozambique, was it? This is how long ago I did the research. Mozambique somewhere, I think it was. JV with Rio Tinto, and they've got a cracking resource there apparently, and that's why that big spike happened back in, when was that, in June, you see, when they announced the partnership with Rio Tinto. They shot up from 1.9 pence, and they went up to over 4.85 pence there, and they've come back down slowly there because there's been no some material news. But I, back then, I looked at the support level and I put an order in, a limit order in, at 1.8. And today it was filled. And I thought, whoa, I completely forgot I placed it. But looking back into it, so when that happens, what happens is I panic for a second. I thought, oh, I bought something. And so I do some research on it, I thought. And I looked back.
I know,
and
but that's such a great level. Look, that was the low in 2013.
Yeah.
And that was the low in March this year. So it is a fantastic level.
Well, I just feel they are a quality company, regardless of the size. I mean, yeah, they've got, like I said, they wouldn't hook up. Rio Tinto wouldn't hook up with them unless they're a sort of, you know, quality assets in the offing there. And I just, you know, I like the CEO and stuff and the way he's connected. And I did a bit of research and I just forgot about it. But yes, but it's down 5%. Then that's why, you know, I mean, everything, all small, all junior resources, but junior miners are in the doghouse today. So yeah, it's hopefully tomorrow, day after, we'll have a tick up and I'll be. In the blue.
They are a bit, you know, but copper's off the lows. It's gold and silver are off the lows today. Platinum had a horrible day yesterday. You know, the metals are not doing very well, but oil, you know, is getting there. So we'll see. I'm not terribly gloomy, as you know, on commodities. I think that we're close to an interim bottom.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Well, you've called the bottom, Nicola. You know, as I stated earlier.
So in Savannah Resources, the support, your stop needs to be below 162 because that's the big level from back in 2013.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I would say wait for a daily bullish candle that says we've found its support if you're not already in it. Mm. I do like this. I think it has great potential.
Yeah.
But just be patient.
It's just gone oversold, isn't it, today? I mean, if you look at the RSI.
It has,
Literally, last time it did that was, you know, back in February. And it jumped back up there then. So hopefully, you know, there we are. Can we just, before we go, let's have a look at the FTSE. Because I just had a quick look at this on a monthly level last night. And I went back to 1995 or something. And I'm thinking, I don't know where I got it from, but I said the FTSE is going down to 5,300. And I don't know why I said that, because I was looking at the MACD, I think, and the last time. If you look, it's a very current, look about 1995 a second. If I draw it now on a monthly basis, 1995.
Because the 5,300 is a 50% retracement in the FTSE, which I think why you drew that.
Yeah.
And that's the 50% retracement of the rally from the 2009 low. Mm. I think that the 38.2 Fibonacci, which comes in at 5,700, will catch us before then, and probably for quite a good bounce.
Yeah.
And if we bounce from there strongly, we have the potential for new highs in the FTSE. If we come back to the 50%, I think that we should put off the possibility of new highs. So it would be more bullish if we saw a good bounce off 5,700.
Yeah. But you know, what I was looking at, I was looking at the RSI and the MACD. They're the MACD here. And the little red line here has touched the zero. And last time it did that was basically in 2009 or 2008.
Yeah.
And back again in 2001. And so I was thinking, judging by those standards, which we know big crashes there, I said we could go down to just below, almost just below the, I was looking at support levels, and like I said, just below the 200-day moving average on the monthly chart there, but just below there, and maybe bounce back up, not down to 5,000, but I mean, around about that area. So you never know, you know.
Right now, though, short term, people are a little bit too bearish, so I think we might see a little bit of a bounce.
Yeah, because it's obviously counterintuitive or contrary.
It is, yeah.
Feeling okay. Marvellous, Nicola. That's marvellous as I was. As you know, Nicola called it here, the bottom of the commodity cycle today. That's marvellous. Can you send us some charts over, Nick?
I'll definitely
I'll put them on sharepickers.com and you can click the link as well to follow Nicola on Twitter. Thanks, Nick. Speak soon.
Thanks, Justin. Bye.
It's time for the micro macro news. Here's the macro news. British mortgage lending increased by the greatest amount since 2008 after lenders approved the largest number of mortgages in more than a year and a half, adding to signs that Britain's housing market is heating up. Data from the Bank of England showed both overall and mortgage lending recorded the biggest net increase since 2008 before the global financial crisis had started to take a significant toll on Britain's economy. British retail sales growth beat expectations this month by a comfortable margin, a survey by the Confederation of British Industry showed. See, it's always good news here. At the moment, you know, it seems like we're going to the hell in a handcart, whatever that is. And yet, you know, there's some good news coming out. The CBI Distributive Trade Surveys Retail. What does this mean? It's all numbers. Listen, go to sharepickers.com. You can see the numbers there. Can't be bothered to read it out. Basically, it's done better than last month, yeah? India Central Bank has cut key interest rates for the fourth time this year, and by more than expected, the Reserve Bank of India, the RBI, reduced its repo rate to 6.75%. Still high, isn't it? But that was from 7.25%. Expectations were of a rate lowering to 7%. We went below that. And the repo rate is basically the level at which central bank lends to commercial banks. The latest cut takes interest rates in the country the lowest level in 4.5 years. If it's relative, that is still high, isn't it? You know, 6.75%. What are we at? Half of 1%. Okay, here's the good news in the micro news. Online clothing retailer Boohoo.com reported a 39% increase in interim profit, with revenue up sharply as the company gained new customers. Shares in Verona Pharma rallied after it announced positive headline data from its third and final part of its clinical study on its RPL55 drug. Oh, I like that one. For the treatment of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Low-cost airline Wizz Air Holdings raised its full-year net profit guidance as it said it has traded well in the first half of 2016. We're not in 2016 yet. Oh, the financial year. And is on target to deliver, I was going to say, the seed of the future. It's amazing. I'm going to invest in that company. It's on target to deliver operating and net profit margins ahead of last year. Shares in Moss Bros jumped early on as the formal menswear retailer reported a sharp increase in higher sales for the first half of the year. I hired a suit for my wedding. I thought, well, I've got a suit, but I hired a nice one. I thought, well, I don't want to buy it. How long is it going to last for? Because we have £100 to hire it, that's all, you know? It was nice as well. It was like a minion suit. Very nice. Because I'm not going to wear that very often. Outsourcing services company Meiti said it had a good start to the year with organic revenue growth driven by new and recently expanded contracts. And Alecto Minerals reported that they're up by about 30% today, reported that a scoping study in Mali suggested that an annual production rate of approximately 27,000 ounces of gold would generate approximately $97.5 million in gross revenue over an estimated life of mine of just over 3 years. And I bought Savannah Resources today, as I said, with Nicola. And they have, I think, a 13% interest in Electro Minerals. So it should help them, even though you wouldn't think so by the share price today. Down, dip down, and I bought them on a dip. So hopefully they'll be up, end of the week. Who knows? And here's the bad news. Shares in Wolseley have plunged on the back of news that some markets remain challenging despite positive results from the building materials distributor. Extract Resources, I've been trying my best to get Jan on from that company today. It nearly happened. It didn't happen, though. They've scaled back its profit expectations. I think almost a quarter of what they were expecting. 150,000, I think. It was 1.2 million, pretty much, they wanted. Oh, well, that's more than a quarter of that, isn't it? Anyway, they've drastically scaled back their profit expectations for the current year after an earthquake in Chile undermined the haulage road at the Chapica mine. Panmure Gordon shares were down heavily after releasing results amid a challenging global environment. And here's today's penny stock with potential, suggested by Anthony 3079. It's a funny surname, but Anthony, you've done your research. So I mentioned earlier, the company is Bushveld Minerals, and I put these on my alert list now because I liked the research you did. What does the company do? Bushveld Minerals Limited is an AIM-listed company exploring and developing projects in Bushveld Complex in South Africa. Would you say this is a short, medium, or long-term investment? Long-term investment. What's the current price and market cap? Current share price is 310, market cap 15 million. Let me just check that. So I'm just looking at this on the chart. It's 3.4 is the... So it's gone up a bit. Yeah, and a rally last week. 3 days of rallying last week. Quite nice. 15 million. So market cap is about 16 million now. Name three reasons why you think this company has potential. I'm not going to read all this out. Go to sharepickers.com, but some good research here from Anthony. And he says, first of all, taken from a recent LMB broker note, and it says, we feel that the deposit has the potential to become the largest, highest grade, and lowest cost primary vanadium mine in the world. That's quite impressive, isn't it? The originally defined 52 million tons deposits in situ, vanadium grains of 1.4% are the highest average of any deposit in the world. The raw resource has since been upgraded by 448% to 285 million tons. So that's got from 52 million tons to 285 million tons, with ample scope for further upgrades. The Bushveld model is focused on minimising dilution of equity at the PLC level. Subsequent to completion of the pre-feasibility study and the DFS, which is detailed feasibility study, we anticipate offtake agreements to be negotiated. We explicitly state multiple agreements as a result of the sheer size of the deposit. And there's a lot more here, and he's about four other points, but it's worth reading. Go to sharepickers.com and the ticker code BMN, Bushveld Minerals, and it's quite an impressive resource they've got there. Like I said, I'll reread that. We feel that the deposit has the potential to become the largest, highest grade and lowest cost primary vanadium mine in the world.
That's impressive.
So check that out at sharepickers.com. And if you know of a penny stock with potential, please click the link here at sharepickers.com and I'll read it out. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation on the podcast. It's only just opinion. Please do your own research. And if you can, click the link as well here. Go to iTunes, give me a nice rating and review, and I'll dedicate the podcast to you. Muchos apreciados.
The ADBFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.